Welcome back, everybody. Today we're going to dive into the aftermath of that pipeline fire that happened in Deer Park
Oh, yeah.
back in September.
Big one.
The one that forced all those families in Brooklyn to evacuate from their homes,
Right.
burned for days, and for the months, the cause was a total mystery. But now, the Deer Park Police Department has wrapped up their investigation, and we've got some answers. But they're not easy ones.
No, they're not.
They're
This investigation uncovered a really tragic series of events. The fire, as we know, was started intentionally. A man named Jonathan McAvoy, 51 years old, drove his SUV at high speed straight into a pipeline valve near the Walmart,
Oh, wow.
and that impact sparked the inferno.
That's just unbelievable. What could lead someone to do something like that? I mean, did the investigators uncover any kind of motive?
Well, that's what makes this even more heartbreaking. The police were incredibly thorough, looking for any sign of a conspiracy, any external factors. What they found instead pointed to a deliberate act. On McAvoy's part, the Harris County Medical Examiner ruled his death a suicide, the result of the crash and the fire itself.
Gosh, that adds a whole other layer of tragedy to an already devastating situation. And let's not forget the impact on the Brooklyn neighborhood. I mean, that fire burned for 80 hours. That's practically 3.5 days. Can you imagine the fear and the uncertainty those residents were going through, watching their homes and belongings go up in flames?
Yeah, it's really hard to fathom. And the long-term effects of a disaster like this are enormous, not just for the individuals who lost their homes, but for the whole community. The sense of safety and security is shattered.
Right. And in the wake of this, Harris County Judge Lena Hidalgo, she came out strong on the issue of pipeline safety, didn't she?
Yes.
I remember reading about her call for increased protection around those above-ground pipelines. She even suggested concrete barriers instead of just the flimsy fences they have now. Makes you wonder, if those barriers had been in place, could this whole tragedy have been prevented?
That's a really complex question. Fences might deter the casual trespasser, but as we saw in this case, they offer little resistance to someone determined to cause harm. Concrete barriers would certainly be more robust, but they come with their own set of challenges: cost, feasibility, and even potential visual impact on the community.
Yeah, that's true. It's a tough balance to strike, for sure. But isn't there also the question of jurisdiction? I seem to recall reading that there might be some legal limitations on what the county can actually do when it comes to regulating pipelines.
You're right, that's another layer to this. Pipelines often fall under a complex web of regulations with involvement from local, state, and even federal agencies.
Oh, wow.
So even if there's the will at the county level to implement stricter safety measures, there may be legal hurdles at the state or federal level that need to be addressed.
It's easy to get lost in the policy weeds, but at the end of the day, it's the human impact that matters most. Judge Hidalgo met with some of the residents in Brooklyn, and she said many of them were just devastated, expressing fear and reluctance to even stay in the area after what they'd been through.
Oh, that's understandable. To have your home, your sense of security, violated in such a terrifying way, it leaves a scar. It really underscores the need for not just physical rebuilding, but emotional and psychological support for these residents as well. It's about helping them regain a sense of normalcy and safety in their own community. And on top of all that, the emotional trauma, there's the financial burden, rebuilding homes, replacing belongings. It's a daunting task, especially for those who lost everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Makes you wonder about the financial responsibility here. I know the residents expressed gratitude for Energy Transfer's transparency throughout all this, but at the end of the day, who's going to foot the bill for all these repairs?
Well, that's where things get even more complicated. While Energy Transfer, as the pipeline owner, might have certain legal obligations, the process for residents to actually seek financial recourse can be a real labyrinth.
Oh, gosh.
We're talking potential lawsuits, insurance claims, navigating a web of legal complexities. It's not a simple or straightforward process.
So what does all of this mean for the resident of Deer Park moving forward? Where do they go from here?
Well, on a practical level, it means continued support is crucial. Financial assistance, mental health services, legal guidance to help them navigate those complex claims, and potential litigation. These are all essential pieces of the recovery process.
And beyond just the immediate needs, this whole incident feels like a wake-up call. It forces us to look at our community, our infrastructure, and ask ourselves, are we prepared for something like this to happen again?
It's a question we all need to be asking, and it's not just about physical preparedness. It's about fostering a sense of community resilience. It's about neighbors helping neighbors, knowing what resources are available, and having a plan in place should disaster strike again.
And speaking of community resources, let's talk about Think and Act Locally. They're doing incredible work right here in our area, empowering residents in Deer Park, LaPorte, Pasadena. They're all about giving people the tools and information they need to make a real difference in their communities.
It's groups like Think and Act Locally that become absolutely vital in times of crisis. They connect people with the resources they need, help amplify their voices, and provide a platform for collective action.
They've got a fantastic podcast, too, that dives deep into local issues, much like we're doing here. I remember an episode they did on disaster preparedness a while back. It was packed with practical tips and advice.
If you're feeling overwhelmed, wondering how you can make a difference in the face of something like this pipeline fire, Think and Act Locally is a great place to start.
Absolutely. Have a ton of information on their website, thinkandactlocally.com. And they're always looking for volunteers and support to help them continue their work.
Every little bit helps, whether it's donating your time, spreading the word, or making a financial contribution. They're a true asset to our community, and they deserve all the support we can give them.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into the Deer Park pipeline fire and its aftermath, we're left with a lot to think about. This wasn't just an isolated incident. It exposed vulnerabilities in our systems, in our preparedness, and in our support networks.
But amidst the tragedy, we also see the strength of the human spirit, the way the community rallied around those who lost their homes, the outpouring of support and generosity. That's what gives me hope. It reminds us that even in the face of disaster, there's a powerful sense of community here, ready to rebuild and recover.
It's a reminder that we're not alone in this. We have each other. We have organizations like Think and Act Locally, fighting for our well-being, and we have the power to learn from this experience and build a stronger, more resilient community. This has been a heavy conversation, but an important one. We've uncovered some hard truths about the Deer Park pipeline fire, but we've also seen the incredible resilience of this community.
Yeah, you know what's fascinating to me is how this event has sparked a broader conversation, not just about pipeline safety, but about community preparedness as a whole. It's got people thinking, what if this happened here? Are we ready?
Exactly. And that leads me to a question for you, our listeners. What can we learn from this tragedy? How can we, as individuals and as a community, take steps to prevent something like this from happening again?
It's a crucial question, and it starts with awareness. Educate yourself about the potential risks in your own community. Are there pipelines nearby? Chemical plants? Refineries? Understanding the landscape is the first step.
And once you're aware, don't be afraid to get involved. Support organizations like Think and Act Locally. They're on the ground advocating for change, connecting residents with resources, and empowering people to make a difference.
Yeah, and it's also about having those tough conversations. Talk to your neighbors, your local officials. Advocate for stronger safety measures, for better emergency preparedness plans. Don't wait for disaster to strike before taking action.
Knowledge is power, right? The more informed we are, the more empowered we are to make a difference.
Absolutely. This Deer Park fire was a tragedy, no doubt. But it can also be a catalyst for positive change. It's a chance for us to come together, learn from our mistakes, and build a safer, more resilient future for ourselves and for generations to come.
That's a powerful thought to end on. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Stay safe out there, everyone.